let's all stand. We're going to sing about my Redeemer. Welcome to the service tonight. I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross He suffered, from the curse He set me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will tell in His boundless love and mercy, He the ransom freely gave. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt. Sing of my Redeemer and His heavenly love to me. He from death to life had brought me, Son of God. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with His blood He purchased me.
Blessing to be here this evening. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You for the opportunity it is to be here in church. Lord, we thank You, Lord, for those that have come. And Lord, as a result of that, may they be blessed in a mighty way through the singing, through the preaching, through the fellowship that we enjoy. Help us now in Your precious name that it might honor and glorify You. And we ask it. Thank You. Amen.
And you can sit, and we're going to sing a couple of choruses. We're going to start off with His Name is Wonderful.
His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord.
Change gears a bit and sing, He's able to deliver.
I know my Lord is able to carry me through.
All right, just a few announcements this evening. Just want to let folks know you want to remember to continue to pray for Brother Nichols and his family and pray for his health. For Brother Block at this time of grieving, I'm sure that he's going through. I do have a little bit of something that he sent that I'll read in just a moment. I'd also like to tell folks about Brother Lowry that he was looking at having surgery, but they canceled the surgery because it wasn't needed. So that's a blessing. And still on dialysis and, still has the health challenges that he does, but no surgery. So that's what folks were praying for. And he wanted to let folks know as well that it's a blessing how the Lord worked on his behalf in that way. And so we want to remember that. I've got this. I'm going to read it from Brother Block. Let me see right here. All right. Dear church family, in my darkest, most difficult time, you were there for me with no life insurance available because of the pre-existing condition. You gave me a love offering when we didn't feel like cooking. You fed us. When I needed a shoulder to lean on and cry on, there you were again. I'm a little, actually a lot, lost still, as you can imagine. So don't stop praying. Love me, and I will try to be around here for a few days, and we'll probably go to spend a little time with my kids out east. They and others who have counseled me think some time away will help with the healing. I'll be back. You're my family, too, and I can't imagine my future without liberty in it. Love you all, Brother Block. So that's from Brother Block. You want to remember to keep praying for him and them at this time, and to remember that. Just as a quick side note, just remember to be faithful to the regular services. We've got soul winning tomorrow for folks that are available at 6:45. We've got Saturday morning at 9:30, bus visitation, and then soul winning at 10:45. Those that are able to make it, then Sunday morning, of course, the regular service, Sunday school, the preaching service, and Sunday night. Thank you for being here tonight on Wednesday evening service. May it be a blessing to all that have come. Thank you.
All right, let's all stand. He's able to deliver thee. Is the grandest theme through the ages run. Is the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. Is the grandest theme that the world has sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though my sin or prayers go to him for rest, our God is able to deliver thee. Brother Cook is up in heaven. He's saying, that's about the speed you ought to sing it. So, all right, third verse. Here we go. Hear the grandest theme, let hear the guilty heart to the sinful soul. Look to God in faith, he will make thee whole. Our God is able to deliver thee.
Thank the church for praying for me when I'm not here, and my wife. We're still kicking, so. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we just thank you. Another day we can serve you, Lord, and come to your house, Lord. And Lord, I just pray you bless the gift and the giver, and bless this offering. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen.
Well, that was a blessing. All right, I would be like Jesus. We'll sing next.
Earthly pleasures vain.
Consider all the worlds thy hand has made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sing my song, my Savior God, to me. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to me. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. Then on the cross, my burden gladly buried, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to me. How great thou art, how great great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to me. How great thou art, how great thou art, when Christ shall come, when shout in acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to me. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to me. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Well, thank you. What a blessing. All right, well, what a blessing to be here this evening. And we're going to look at the Bible in the book of Romans, but in the book of Romans in chapter 12. And we'll be reading a few verses here in the book of Romans in chapter 12. And what a blessing it is to be here, to have the opportunity to preach. And just looking forward to seeing some folks get healthy and get some help. And book of Romans in chapter 12, we'll start reading here in verse 1. In Romans in chapter 12, in verse 1, after telling us about some of the wonderful blessings that we have in being saved and the importance of that, we're experiencing it too by extension, but what the audience was that Brother Paul was speaking to in the book of Romans, that they were under grace and they were enjoying something that was very special, that they needed to treasure in what they had. And then he started to enumerate as well some of the great blessings that come as a result of the grace that we do have, and as opposed to, and many times, what the Jewish religion had really deteriorated to, where there was a heavy reliance upon adherence to the law and the works of the flesh, that he points out here in the book of Romans up until this point, many of the great blessings, and really expounding upon the importance of grace and how it manifests itself in the life of the believer. And then he says this in the book of Romans in chapter 12, and starting in verse 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That he goes on after describing the wonderful blessings that we have because of grace, the wonderful blessings that as a result of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ that these folks had. That he said, because of all these wonderful spiritual blessings that we enjoy through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that what is appropriate and really what is fitting is for us then to present ourselves as a living sacrifice for God's service, as we was talking about, and he points out a few things about that. First of all, the Bible tells us that he says that I beseech you, that he's urging God's people, that as well as he could. I mean, Paul wasn't there physically, so he could not show the earnestness upon his face and to be able to really convey the emotion, I'm sure, that he was wanting to describe, but he uses the words beseech, that he was really urging them to present themselves as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. And he describes it as being our reasonable service, not something out of the ordinary. It's not something that was too high of an expectation that God was wanting. But he says, really, in the grand scheme of things, he said, what I'm beseeching you to do is really only that which is reasonable. It's our reasonable service. He goes on to say this in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That he speaks about the importance of that, whatever it is that we do for God's honor and glory, as we present ourselves that living sacrifice, to do it not modeled after the world's way, not offering ourselves as the best version of ourselves, as the world may say, but he says for us to have a spiritual transformation as we allow God to work in and through us to work this wonderful work that he desires to do in our lives. Then he goes on to say this, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. That he goes on to tell us that whatever it is that God does through us, whatever he what is about to describe here, whatever he gifts us in whatever way it is, he says to be very careful that we have the right perception about ourselves, that any good thing that we have is a result of God's supernatural working through us. He says, think soberly about that. Don't think of yourselves higher than you ought to think. And the reality is, he's about to describe that God gifts us two different levels for different purposes and in different ways. And however it is that God gifts us in the way that he does, for us to remember that it is God that does it. It's God that gifts us. God that works through us the work that he desires. That he says, verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. And then here's the message here tonight, because as he talks about the diversities of these gifts, the importance of us exercising it within the context of his church, that he says in verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And then he goes on to talk about the importance of love and having kindness in what we do, talking about having the unction in whatever business we do to be fervent. But he talks about here in verses 6, 7, and 8, speaking about the way that God gifts us, but especially in verse 6 that he points out something very important, that he says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, and then he goes on to enumerate some of those things. And what I'm going to be speaking about here this evening are these gifts that God gives us, or as I'd like to say this evening, these gifts of grace that God gives us, that I'd like to speak about that for a few minutes here this evening. Lord, we ask that you would please help us, that you would please work in our lives, that, Lord, we might truly leave here a little bit different than what we've come in because of the entrance of your words. Help us, work through us, work in us, Lord, for your honor and your glory. And, Lord, we will thank you for it. In your precious name we ask it. Amen. These spiritual gifts. Now, really tonight, what I plan on doing, I don't plan on really going into the doctrine of as far as these gifts that he starts to enumerate here in the book of Romans in chapter 12 and in verses 6, 7, and 8, how he begins to speak about them. I will speak about, though, from the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, where he speaks about it as well. But really, I want to make some observations this evening concerning what the Lord gives us here, concerning spiritual gifts that he does give to us. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, Romans in chapter 12 and verse 6, he talks about the reality of the gifts. In verse 6, he says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, that it is a spiritual reality that in our lives that God gifts his people with certain capabilities, certain things that he gifts us with in our lives to be used for his honor and for his glory. That's what he does for his people. Now, whether we choose to really embrace the truth of it, whether we choose to really grab a hold of it and be wise about what he gives us, that's another story. But in each and every one of our lives, that God gives us special gifts and abilities that we have a responsibility to use for his honor and for his glory. Now, honestly, when we look at the Bible as well as we look at our own lives and the lives of others, that those gifts that he gives us many times, that they can benefit us secularly in this world, the different things that he gives us. But whatever God does in our lives, God has given us for the purpose of honoring and glorifying him. It's very important as a child of God that we understand this, that God never intended for the good things that he gives us in our lives for the end purpose that we may consume them upon ourselves, but he does what he does in our lives, that whatever we have, whatever he places within our hands, that we use it for his honor and for his glory. So the reality of it, he speaks about the reality, he speaks about the diversity of them. Here in the book of Romans in chapter 6, Romans in chapter 12 and in verse 6, he says, having then gifts differing. He talks about that not only do we have these gifts, not only are these gifts a reality in the lives of God's people, that they are there for us to use, they are there that God puts them within our hand, and that they are different. He speaks about having then gifts differing according to the gifts that God has given to us. And they are very different. You know, many times what happens is we look at our lives and we see maybe what God has gifted us with for his honor and his glory, and really because we enjoy it so much, because we get consumed with it, man, we want everybody to be that. Amen? I'll be honest, as a preacher, as one who has an opportunity to regularly to communicate the truth of the gospel, the truth of God's word, you know, there's something inside of me that says, I want everybody to do it. I want everybody to be a part of it. But I do understand from my understanding of the way that God works, as he has revealed himself in his word, honestly, that's not what God has entrusted to each and every person. That God has differing gifts for his people. And even though I may desire and think, man, it'd be great for everyone to want to be a preacher, that's not what God has for everyone. It really isn't. It's kind of like this, as far as, you know, people that, for instance, are married. Man, they want everyone to be married. It's just, you know, I mean, if it's halfway decent, hopefully you got a good marriage. You're married, man, you wonder if someone's not married. Man, why don't you get married? You know, maybe you're not trying hard enough for something. You need to get married to be a blessing. I mean, me, I'm happy. I'm happy to be married, and I wish everyone was married. But I understand this. God doesn't do that in everyone's life. He really doesn't. Now, I think probably for most people, he does. You know, as far as single people, man, they think single life is the best. And, you know, I don't see how you could deal with the kids and a wife and all that. Well, the reality is it's a blessing. It's a joy. Amen. Amen. Being married and having kids is a joy. Amen. I was hoping I'd get a little bit of response. People enjoy it. But it is. It's a good thing. But I understand this. If a person is not married, if they're single, they understand that they're content, hopefully, that they're right with God. They're content where God has put them. They're having a joyful life. And man, you know, that's how they think everyone would be a lot happier that way. But you see, in the Christian life, though, as far as Christian life and the gifts that God gives us for his honor and glory, that there are going to be differing gifts. He talks about it even here in the book of Romans in chapter 12. And so starting right here in verse 6, he says, to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And he goes on, he enumerates some of these ideas, some of these gifts, as well as some of them that are shown in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, that God gives different gifts to different people, and the wise person is the one that understands that even though you may be content, in fact, you may be finding fulfillment and joy in the gifts that God gives you, that's not the gift that God gives to everyone. And God gives people different gifts, and whatever gift we have, that we need to be content in that gift that God has given. We can see this right here, for instance, as I was saying in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. Look right here in 1 Corinthians in chapter 12 and starting in verse 1. He says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away." And he talks about some different things. But then he says in verse 4, he says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all." To profit who? It's to profit God. It's to be a blessing and to honor Him as well as to be a blessing to us. He says, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit to another faith, by the same Spirit to another the gifts of healing, by the same Spirit to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will." And He talks about some other ones, and He gives an analogy later on in the chapter as well, according to that He likens the different spiritual gifts we have to the different parts of the human body. But nonetheless, He's speaking about that there really are diversities of these gifts that God has purposed for His honor and for His glory, to do His work, that He might be honored and glorified among His people in the context of the local church. Now, I'm not going to speak about all those, and there could be many, many, many sermons, many lessons that could be gained, and even talking about each and every one of these spiritual gifts that are shown and talked about in Romans in chapter 12 and in 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. But the reality is, I'm going to give you some observations. Let me say, first of all, concerning the spiritual gifts that God gives us, that He has a high expectation in our lives for those gifts, that the gifts that He gives us are to be used for His honor and for His glory. Whatever God gives us, He puts it within our hands primarily for the purpose that He may be honored and glorified through them. You may find people that take the wonderful gifts that God gives them, that they maybe have a leaning towards, they have something inside about them that is just, that leans towards a certain way that they're just good at. Sometimes you have people that they're just good with their hands. They're comfortable turning a wrench, turning bolts and fixing things and doing different things, or working on a computer with those hands, and it just goes together for them. Or a musician, or whatever it may be, that God gives people certain types of capabilities to a certain degree, but God has a high expectation for that, that it's not for you simply to heap it upon ourselves, or for us even to enjoy the material blessings in this life and the return that we might be able to receive in this life. But God gives us these gifts for, first of all and primarily, that we might honor Him with them. And honoring Him with them, that may mean that we use them in such a way to provide for our family, to provide for those that may depend upon us as well, to give to His work, to be a blessing around His church. Whatever it may be, whatever God gives us, the primary purpose is that we may give honor and glory to Him, and that we may see others come to the Lord as a result of it. But there's a high spiritual expectation on whatever God puts within our hands, that He talks about in the book of 1 Corinthians, that whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, fill in the blank, do all to the glory of God. That whatever we have a high spiritual expectation to do what we do with our lives for His honor and for His glory. And you know, that's one of the great things that God has really gifted to us here in the United States, that God has gifted us here in the United States, in America, that man was able to grab a hold of, that what He has, that what God gives people, that they're to give all that they have for it, but ultimately that it honors God for us to work hard, for us to provide, for us to create, for us to do things. And although there are many people that abuse it and corrupt it and take the glory away from God, God. Really, God has given us the wonderful resources within our hands to accomplish something for His honor and for His glory. God's blessed us in a wonderful way here in the United States of America. And many of the people that have created many of the wonderful things that we enjoy in our day were a result of people that really honored God with their life, that they gave themselves whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for the glory of God and for the good of man. And we know, though obviously many people have abused that and turned from it, but if we're going to enjoy the fruits of our labor, if we're going to enjoy the things that God gives us, is for us to understand that there is a high spiritual expectation. What God puts within our hands, what God equips us with, is to be used ultimately for His honor and for His glory. That's what I like. I'll be honest. I realized this. I had an opportunity at a young age to be able to speak before people. And I could take it into the secular world. I'm maybe not the most polished speaker, but if I would have applied myself, be able to speak to people, to be able to maybe, make a little bit of money in this world, talking about things that would honor God in no way whatsoever. Everyone could do that. Everyone has something that they have. But really what I'm urging God's people to do, to take what you have and think, are you using what God has given you, what God has gifted you for? Are you using it for the result of bringing honor and glory to Him? Or is what you're doing really have, your life is so separated that you just fill up a place of geography on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and then you use the wonderful gifts that God has given you, only that you might then heap them upon your own self. Any success, any use that you have, any capabilities that you have, are you using them for God's honor and glory, or are you using them for something that's not going to matter in eternity? I urge you, use it for God's honor in eternity. Use it for His honor and glory to accomplish something that would honor Him. Let me say, secondly, especially within the context of a local church, not only is there a high expectation, but there is a spiritual equilibrium that I believe that God does. I want you to look with me here in the book of Romans in chapter 12. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 6, He says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And then He starts to talk about different gifts. He talks about that God gives these gifts and that they are differing. Look here in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. We were looking at that for just a moment here, but especially here in 1 Corinthians in chapter 12 and in verse 18. He says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. Now remember that. I'm going to continue reading here, but notice what God is pointing out here through the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, that God sets the members, every one of them, that it's God that does it as it hath pleased Him. That He's the one that leads us and guides us and gifts us for His honor and for His glory. He says right here in verse 19, and if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And he goes on to explain in a tangible way how we can use our gifts. But I want you to notice what he talked about here in verses 18 through 25. That there's a spiritual equilibrium that God deals with here, that He sets the members in the body according as it hath pleased Him. He knows what a local body of believers, what a church needs. He knows what they need. And therefore, He's going to deal in such a way through God's people to put them according to the need of a church. And He talks about it right here. If all of them, He says, for instance, in verse 19, He says, if they were all one member, where were the body? He says, if everyone was one particular member, then you don't have a body. He goes on, but now are there many members in one body? And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Then he goes on to talk about the diversity of the gifts that we have, that God will in his wisdom create a spiritual equilibrium, equal it out, that he will put the people that with the capabilities that they have within the context of a local church, a body of believers, for his own honor and for his own glory. It tells me a few things. It tells me, first of all, that we're not all going to be doing this very exact same thing. I mean, we're not. We got to have people that are capable of doing a little bit different things. But on top of that, not only are we all, but it's important that we understand, are we being obedient to what God has called us to do? Amen. Are you being obedient? You know, I don't know what God has called anyone to do. I don't know the capabilities that God puts within different people's hearts and lives. But I do know this, that God puts capabilities within a person's life that he may create that spiritual equilibrium. Now, here at Liberty Baptist Church, I'll be honest, I think for the most part, I think God has given us a spiritual equilibrium, first of all. But I think people are being pretty obedient to it, that we're able to accomplish some things, that everyone kind of gets their place and really grows where they are and tries to be what they ought to be in the place that God puts them. But you see, the reality is, if that's going to continue, that God's people need to be obedient. We've got to be wise to understand that God's always working for that spiritual equilibrium to accomplish something for his honor and glory in a local church. He gives people with the ability, you know, to do different things, to people that have something that they can work with children. They say, well, I just don't have any patience. I'm not called to work with children. That may not necessarily be so. That just may mean that you're not right with the Lord. You just need to get right and get some spiritual growth. Amen? Sometimes that happens. I just can't do this, or I just can't do that. That's not the issue. Are you being obedient to what God has called you to be? And not use excuses to keep you from maintaining that equilibrium that God wants to accomplish in his local church, where everybody is getting in their place, doing what they can, and really thriving where he puts them. Each and every one of us have it. It doesn't matter who you are, that we do. Each and every one of us, that God is going to work that in us. And then then we see this, that we have some examples of that, of these gifts that we see here in the book of Romans in chapter 12, that he gives some important examples of what it looks like for people to do what they ought to do, to be wise about the gifts that he gives them. Then let me give you three observations that we've done this evening. Let me say, first of all, the importance of obedience. I talked about that a little bit earlier concerning the spiritual expectation, concerning a spirit of equilibrium that God has set some, that God puts us in a place that we know we need to be obedient to what God leads and guides us to. But you know, there are some very real barriers that I see in our lives, my life and in other people's lives. What happens is there are barriers from us being able to obey the Lord like we ought to. You know, one of those barriers many times is that, frankly, that we're just not available. I learned a long time ago as a young person growing up here at Liberty Baptist Church, probably the greatest ability that God can give his people is availability. I heard it in Bible college, just to be available. But you know, many times what God's people do is they're not obedient. There's something in them that would like to be obedient. I'll be honest, I don't think they're evil and they want to be a rebel against God, but they find that there are barriers to them obeying God simply because they've not made themselves available. They've not ordered their life in such a way that they can be available. And it's important as a young person that you start that early. You know, it's sad. I've seen too many young people that what happens, they get to an age that maybe now they're able to work. And good, you know, it's good that a young man bear the yoke in his youth. You know, you can work, you need to work. That's fine. That's great. Go find yourself a job. But what happens so many times is they get this job, and where they were faithful to the things of God, faithful to church, faithful to what they ought to have done, they put themselves in a position that they allow the devil's crowd to influence them, to intimidate them, to do things that are going to harm them spiritually. Amen. Amen. I've been there. I mean, I worked a public job, and I'll be honest, when I was 16, 17, it did me a lot of harm at times, that instead of remaining strong spiritually, it all starts out, oh man, we need you on Wednesday night, or we need you just this Sunday, we need you, and we won't need you anymore. I know you got to be at church the rest of it, but you find yourself slipping away from that. Let me tell you this. You know what? There's always going to be plenty of work to be done. All right, are you hearing me? There is always plenty of work to be done. And I'll tell you, most of the people that end up not being available on a Sunday during church time, I'm talking about the world, or Wednesday, they could do it. And I had to get to the point in my life, you know what? all they're going to be doing is messing around. They want to watch their TV show or go out and get drunk or who knows what. They can work on Wednesday and Sunday. I'm going to be at church. And I'll tell you, I didn't really grab a hold of it until I really got in Bible college, where I got to the point where in Bible college I said, you know what? There are 24 hours in the day. I got this much time that I want to be at school, that I have to be at school. I've got this much time that I'm going to be at wrestling practice. Amen? I got to be at wrestling practice because I got to get better. And then I got time, you know, that I've got to rest, study the rest of it. But I decided where, you know what, I don't care what it takes, but I'm going to be at church. I had already settled Sunday. Sunday, it was going to happen. I'm going to be at church. I'll quit a job before I'm going to work on Sunday. You don't have to do that. I'm not advocating for it. Don't everyone go quit their job because of Sunday. Because I started out early before on that application before I ever started. Hey, I'm not working on Sunday. Is that something we're going to be able to work out? Is that going to be, you got other people. Then I'll tell them, well, good. You know, that's fine. And I didn't tell them that, but I had to get to the point in my own mind. You know what? These folks, they can work on Sunday. They can work on Sunday just like I can. They're not going to go to church. I want to go to church. Let them work on Sunday. But I got to the point where I said, you know what? I want to have such an opportunity that I want to be at church on Wednesday night, and I want to be available to be for special services, for soul winning, and the rest of it. Now, you may not be able to do that. I don't know what your schedule is like, you know, what situation you have with your job, a tight job market, the rest of it. But in college, I got to that point. I will work all night if I have to, but I'm going to be at church at those times. And I'm glad that I did. And I wasn't always the most alert person at all those places, but I was there. All right. So but nonetheless, you got to decide in your life to order your life in such a way. You start early. Now, it's a lot harder the longer you get down the road on that thing. Like if you had ever ordered your life in such a way where church was a part of it. Yeah, it's very difficult many times. I can understand that it gets very difficult to start ordering your life, especially the older you get. It's really hard to, you know, just to order things around that. And that's why it has to start early in a person's life. As a young person, I'm glad here at Liberty Baptist Church, I was encouraged on some things to order in my life early so that way that they might then become a habit like other things. Amen. But you got to order your. So there are barriers to obedience, availability. And let me say, secondly, I believe many times as well, not only availability but capability. Just being able to do it. And many times our capability of doing something, it comes as a result of earlier of being disobedient to how God was trying to grow us. You know, nowadays, I mean, I had people that. Were taking me out witnessing, out preaching the rest of it when I was 12 years old. So I was able to get some capabilities a little bit earlier to get me ready later on in my life. But not just that, other spiritual realities, other spiritual exercises that folks helped to instill in my life that as I was called upon later in life, I could not give the excuse, I don't know how to do that. I couldn't say that. Are you hearing me? And with work, you know, someone needed something done. Well, I don't know how to do that. Because the reality is, I do know how to do it. And not only that, not only do I know how to do it, I've got the tools I need in order to get it done. And it's just the reality of it. Because what happens is, like I've heard people say many times before, tongue in cheek, but being a little bit of joking, but it's the truth, that no good deed goes unpunished. You know, if you show yourself capable, willing, and able to do something, you're going to be called upon to do it. Now, the carnal mind says, man, I am sick and tired of doing this. But, you know, so someone that hopefully is a little bit right with God, you get to the point where you realize, you know what? I can do it. I'm going to get a blessing out of it. Honestly, my flesh says I don't want to do it. Amen. Our flesh doesn't want to do the things that we should do many times. But when we do it, we're glad that we did. Because the reality is not everyone can do those things. All right? There are certain gifts that you have that, frankly, if there's no one else can do it, it's very rare. There are very few people that can actually do that. So you ought to be glad that you can, and because you can, you know what? My flesh may not want to do it, but I'm going to do it anyways. Amen? And I got to be ready for it. So you got to have those capabilities, but what are you doing in your life in order to be capable to be able to accomplish it for God's honor and for God's glory? What are you doing in order to grow those barriers, going beyond those barriers to obedience? Some observations: obedience, faithfulness, and fruitfulness. You know, and I'll finish with this. The reality is, in our lives, hopefully in our Christian life, I'm going to go ahead and say this first of all. I think probably the majority of people in here that you're saved. How many of you would say, I'm saved? I know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. All right, good. So it is a majority, if not all of you here. You know, we get saved, and God allows us to grow. We grow in our lives. And what a wonderful blessing is that he allows us to grow. You know, especially when you're first saved, every little bit of growth that you make, it's a big deal. And really, it's easy for folks around you to see. But the longer you live in the Christian life, that growth, those steps are not near as big. Are you hearing me? You know, at first, yeah, everything is a big step. Everything is something that's very manifest. It's very able to see. But the longer you live the Christian life, it starts to be small little things that make a difference. You know, I had my surgeries a couple of, you know, about a year one, and then a few months ago for the other one, last May, and then September, where I had a hip replacement. Now, to most people here, the things that I'm able to do now that I get excited about, you wouldn't get excited about. You said, that, you know, what's so great about that? Well, to me, it's a big deal. Before I had my surgeries, I had a lot of difficulty just getting my socks on. Are you hearing me? Without tools. Now when I put my socks on, I don't have to use a tool in order to do it that they give you at the hospital in order to help you get your socks on. I can lift my legs up and it doesn't even hurt. Before I had my surgeries, even to put them on with the tools, it hurt. And to you think, man, I put my socks on, no problem. Well, probably most people probably here. But you say, I put my socks on, no problem. To me, it's a big deal that I'm even willing to testify in that way. And there's all sorts of things that I can point to that probably most people, it's not that big of a deal. But in the Christian life, what happens in the Christian life? You start to be saved a certain amount of time, and God's given you any amount of growth. You get to a certain point, and really that growth is not like huge, big things that everyone's going to notice. But between you and God, you're noticing these things. And the wise Christian is the one that understands, I cannot stay and be with the best version of myself when I was saved 3 years. I've been saved now, not me, but someone can say, I've been saved 20 years now. Are you the best version of what you ought to be for the honor and glory of God at 20 years? Not at 5 years, but are you the best that you could possibly be at 20 years that you are allowing God to work in and through you? And the reality is, by that time, people aren't going to even see the difference between you slacking and you being the best version of yourself sometimes at 20 years, but you know and God knows. Are you hearing me? And that's why it is so much more difficult that God gives us these gifts. Someone that's very proficient at a job that they do, when they're first starting out, you know, everything that they do is a big thing. My kids, when they're learning to read, they can recognize, they read simple sentences. Woo, all right, getting excited about it. As folks get a lot older, that type of growth, you're not seeing that type of huge jumps. But in the Christian life, you've got to be faithful to understand that the gifts that God has given to you, that he wants to see a return on that. He wants to see you being fruitful that where you are. He told the folks at Corinth, and I'll finish with this. There were some folks at Corinth. He said, now, you may not agree with it. You may not even be recognizing it. But there are folks there at the time you ought to be teachers. You have one need, that they teach you again. What was happening? Is these were people that they knew languages, many of them. They were still having church in a big city and being successful. But the problem was, he said, you are at the point in your life where you may know some things, but you haven't grown where you ought to be, where God would be satisfied with it. At the time you ought to be teachers, honestly, you have one where someone teach you again of the elementary things is where you are. And in our lives as well, let us never be guilty of being in such a way with the spiritual gifts that God gives us, that we're doing everything with our spiritual gifts, what God would have expected us being maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 years saved, when we've been saved 20. When really you ought to be operating at a much higher level of excellency for the time that God has given you, for the time that he has. And the wonderful thing is, what I found out a long time in the Bible, is that the Lord will restore unto us the years that the locusts have eaten. That's what he told the children of Israel. And man, he'll do it for us. He'll do it for you. You're not at a lost cause. You're not where you can't ever get to where God would want you to be. You can get there. You can get where God wants you to be, where you're going to be pleased with it, and God's going to be pleased, and you're going to accomplish something for His honor and His glory. He's going to restore those years the locusts have eaten. But we got to be obedient. We got to be obedient to recognize the wonderful gifts that He gives us and say, Lord, maybe I've not been faithful with the gifts that You've given me, whatever it may be, the type of mind, the type of abilities that You've given me. But Lord, if You will work a supernatural work through me, if You will help me to use it for Your honor and Your glory, Lord, I give it to You. I give my body a living sacrifice, is what He said. And when we do, we'll have no glory of it of ourselves. All the glory will go to God. But Lord, it's Yours. It's Yours. Now, I would be amiss if I let people leave here this evening without asking this, though. All this means very little unless, first of all, that you've been born again, that you've been saved. If you're here tonight and you've never been born again, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ the Savior, before you get on that journey of the Lord working those spiritual gifts through you, is you got to be born again. Because anything that you do outside of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ the Savior, it'll be for naught. You're going to just be putting in a bag with holes. Is what He told to the folks in Malachi. What you need, first of all, to establish a life in the Lord Jesus Christ, to be born into His family, as He talks about in John chapter 3, to be born again. If you've never been born again, if you do not know for sure that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, you ought to get it settled tonight. In just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. We're going to have a brother standing up here. And if you're a man that wants to know about that, or a young man, and we'll get you with a man. If you're a lady, we'll get you with a lady on how to get that settled tonight. But among God's people, let us lay our all on the altar. Lord, use my gifts that You've given me, not to heap it upon myself, but to give it for Your honor and Your glory. Help me, reveal unto me how I can use it, that You might be honored and glorified. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for tonight. We thank You for the opportunity to be here, Lord. I just ask that with Your people, that You might bless them in a good way. Lord, You've got some people here, Lord. They're good people. They've been a blessing. Lord, they've served You. They've been faithful. But Lord, there's some. I just know, Lord, because of what goes on, Lord, the way that You reveal Yourself through Your word and how people work, Lord. Lord, we're not enjoying the fullness, Lord, of what we could if we just gave ourselves to You. Help us, Lord, that we may grow, Lord, in a way that honors and glorifies You. And Lord, if there's anyone here tonight that does not know You as Savior, Lord, my prayer is that this would be a time of great decision, and that, Lord, today that salvation would come to their life, that they might truly realize their need of You and might trust in You tonight. Help this be a time that You'll get the honor and glory. Help us now. In Your precious name we ask it. Amen.